Eternal. Atma. Spirit soul. Avyaya. Inexhaustible. Shuddha. With no material tinge. Sarvagaha. Qualified to go anywhere. In the material or spiritual worlds. Sarvavit. Full of knowledge. Paraha. Transcendental to material conditions. Datte. Accepts. Asau. That Atma or living being. Atmanaha. Of the self. Lingam. A body. Maya. By the material energy. Vishrajan. Creating. Gunan. Various material qualities. The translation, the spirit, soul, the living entity has no death, for he is eternal and inexhaustible. Being free from material contamination, he can go anywhere in the material or spiritual worlds. He is fully aware and completely different from the material body. But because of being misled by misuse of his slight independence, he is obliged to accept subtle and gross bodies created by the material energy and thus be subjected to so-called material happiness and distress. Therefore, no one should lament for the passing of the spirit soul from the body. So you can repeat, the spirit soul,
the spirit soul,
the living entity, has no death,
for he is eternal and inexhaustible.
Being free from material contamination, he can go anywhere in the material or spiritual worlds. He is fully aware and completely different from the material body. But because of being misled by misuse of his slight independence, he is obliged to accept subtle and gross bodies created by the material energy and thus be subjected to so-called material happiness and distress. Therefore, no one should lament for the passing of the spirit soul from the body. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hiranyakashipu very intelligently described the position of the soul. The soul is never the body, but is always completely different from the body. Being eternal and inexhaustible, the soul has no death, but when the same pure soul desires to enjoy the material world independently, he is placed under the conditions of material nature and must therefore accept a certain type of body and suffer the pains and pleasures thereof. This is also described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita in the 13th chapter, text 22. Karanam guna sangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. The living entity is born in different families or species of life because he being infected by the modes of material nature. When conditioned by material nature, the living entity must accept a certain type of body which is offered by nature under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Ishvara sarva bhutanam Hudeshe Arjuna Tishtati Abhramayan Sarabhutani Yantra Rutani Maya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text 61. The body is just like a machine, and according to the living entity's karma, he is offered a particular type of machine to move here and there under the control of material nature.
This continues until he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mameva ye prapajante mayam etam torante te. Until he surrenders, the conditioned soul is carried from life to life by the arrangement of material nature. So, nitya atma vaya shutho sarvaga sarvavit paraha gate savatmano lingam mayaya visvajan gunan. So, omagana timirandasya gunanjana shlakya chakshura meditam yena tasmai shigurve namaha. So, interestingly enough, because many of you weren't here for the previous classes, this is Hiranyakashipu preaching Bhagavad Gita. It's interesting, isn't it? So you may ask, why is he doing this? Why is he preaching Bhagavad Gita knowledge? Well, he's preaching Bhagavad Gita knowledge to pacify his relatives because they were crying because of the death of his brother. Does anyone know what his brother's name was? What? Hiranyaksha. So Hiranyakashipu was just pacifying, and also he felt a little pacified and peaceful too by doing this. And this is the benefit of spiritual knowledge, at least the knowledge that we're not this body. And you find that when we go to funerals, we often read from the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which gives the same type of knowledge. It makes everyone feel good. Oh, even when I went to a Jewish funeral, the funeral of my father, I didn't read from Bhagavad Gita, but I gave the same knowledge. I said, dear dad is still alive, but he's in a different body. And everyone felt, oh, that's good. That's why they use the expression, he passed away. Passed away means he's gone somewhere else. And then I explained even the law of karma at my father's funeral. And in a very simple way, I said, because my father gave a lot of donations to the Hare Krishna movement. No, I didn't say that. You know, but actually that's what I meant. I said, because my father did. He gave many donations. I said, because my father helped spiritual life, I put it in a generic or a general way, therefore he's gone on to a better destination in his next life. And everyone felt good. And, of course, his wife, that's not my mother, because my father had gotten divorced, thought that he was still there in the ashes, which is actually quite funny. Because after he passed away, I asked my stepmother, that's my father's wife, not my mother. For those of you who don't know about divorce, that's what happens in Kali Yuga. So I asked her, can I have the ashes to throw into the Ganges? And she said to me, no, I want to keep him with me. And I said, that's not him. And she said, it is him. And I said, can I have a little bit of the ashes to throw into the Ganges? And she said, no, I want to keep him in my living room. So she kept a little canister, you know, container of his ashes in the living room until she found another husband. But anyway, that's Kali Yuga for you. She thought, I want to keep him in the living room because I want to keep him around everything that he likes, like me, like his paintings, like his hobbies and everything like that. So I don't know where his ashes are right now, but probably not in the living room anymore with her new husband, I'm sure. He would not appreciate it that much. So she thought that he was present in the ashes. And, you know, in America, too, you know, people are very much conscious about the body. They think the body is the soul. Even there's a branch of religion, we won't mention, you know, branch of Christianity, where they think that the body will come out of the grave in the future. You've heard about that before? That's, it's called the resurrection. The day of judgment, actually. When Jesus Christ appears again, then those bones shall rise again, they say. You ever heard that expression? None of the kids have heard that expression, I think. Those bones, in other words, all the graves will come out, And somehow or other, you know, they'll come out of the ground and the bones will come out. It's really frightening. It's almost like Halloween. You've all heard of Halloween before, of course. That, you know, bones coming out of the ground and dancing. Actually, even Walt Disney many years ago, he had a movie about bones dancing. Remember that?
Yeah.
What was the name of that movie?
Dance Macabre.
Dance Macabre. That, there's nothing that I would like to see, bones dance. This is because he had a certain macabre sense of humor. Not humor, but, you know, he had done something when he was young, so he was actually traumatized by it. So there's this whole conception, and many people who are Christians, and that's why they don't believe in cremation. You know, we have cremation when someone dies because we want the soul to leave, and the subtle body, the soul and the subtle body, to leave. We don't want the soul and the subtle body to hang around just looking at their old body. That's what happens. If you go to a cemetery where they bury the bodies in the ground, then you'll actually, if you could see ghosts, you'd see them all hovering around. Oh, that's me, that's my body. Because everybody likes to see their body. That's why we have mirrors. You ever have mirror, mirror on the wall? Who's the most attractive one of them all? We do that all the time. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the best sannyasi of them all? Anyway, mirrors, because everyone's attracted to seeing themselves. I mean, you can look at yourself in the mirror from different angles, and nowadays they have this thing called selfies. You've heard of selfies? Any of the kids have heard of selfies? No. Selfies mean, it's a new word in the English dictionary. It means using your phone, basically, or a camera, to take a picture of yourself, sometimes with someone else, and they've even invented things called selfie sticks. You've heard about that before? Selfie sticks. So, because sometimes if the phone is too close, you don't get a really good image of yourself or of your friends that are next to you. So there's a special stick that has a clamp that goes on the phone so they can hold the phone some distance away, like 2 or 3 feet away, so you can get a full picture of your whole body or of you and your friends. None of you heard of these selfie sticks? Selfie sticks. Because everyone likes to look at themselves. Like if you look at a photographic album, you'll think, where's the picture of me? I mean, even I was looking through this magazine the other day that criticizes sannyasis in the Hare Krishna movement. It's called Back to Prabhupada. And I said, why don't they have a picture of me in it? Even though it was a critical magazine, I was thinking, why not me? So everyone likes it. So therefore, for a Vaishnava, the body is cremated because the person will just stay around looking. Hey, that's me. When am I going to move again? Until, of course, the worms start to eat the whole thing. As they say, the worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. Anyway, so therefore, Vaishnavas generally cremate. Sannyasis, sometimes they don't cremate the bodies because hopefully sannyasis are detached from the bodies. Sometimes they do cremate sannyasis' bodies, especially in India where the Muslims, many years ago, the Muslims would attack the Vaishnava samadhis and dig up the bodies and desecrate, in other words, tear them apart. Horrible, isn't it? So therefore, if you go to Radhakund, you'll find this, the one somebody called the Teen Goswami Samadhi, which has three great saints there, like Raghunath Das Goswami and others. Because the Muslims were coming, they were going to attack the actual samadhis of the sannyasis, take the bodies out of the ground and tear them apart. So the Vaishnava decided to cremate the bodies instead. So, but generally, Vaishnavas are cremated. And that way, they become detached. Because who can be attached to a pile of ashes? Like if I was floating around and saw a pile of ashes, I said, I got to go somewhere else. I'm not going to come out of that ashes again. So, and other religions, actually, they help you get detached at the time of death. For example, the Jain religion, The Parsis, they actually throw the body from a tower and they let the vultures eat the body after the person dies, not before the person dies. Because before the person dies, that would be murder. So they throw the body in the tower, and then all the relatives are watching the vultures eat the body, and they get a little renunciation at that point. Of course, it doesn't last very long. The interesting thing about this, what's called smarshana vairagya, which means renunciation at the crematorium, it doesn't last long. Just like I mentioned with my stepmother, I mean, she eventually got remarried. But even you see, in the case of doctors who are operating on people, and they see the nature of the body, and at the same time, they're looking at the nurse, making eyes at the nurse. So this sort of renunciation, simply by hearing you're not the body, doesn't make you realize that you're not the body. Although it passes you, pacifies you, makes you feel peaceful for some time. Prabhupada gave the example of Gandhi. Gandhi liked to read the Bhagavad Gita. And he said that it made him very peaceful to read the Bhagavad Gita. It gave him great hope. But then at the same time, he didn't believe in Krishna. He was an atheist. He actually said, I don't believe anyone like Krishna ever existed. But still, he read the Bhagavad Gita, and that basic knowledge gave him some peacefulness, temporarily. Of course, ultimately, he wasn't peaceful because his whole strategy fell apart. So in India, Gandhi is called Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma means a great soul. But according to Krishna and the Gita, Mahatma Gandhi is not Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi, to be a Mahatma, you have to be always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Krishna says that in the Gita. He says, Mahatmanas tu mam partha daivam prakriti mashrita vajanchya nanya manasha bhuta avyam, bhuta avyam. So that one has to always be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Mahatmanas tu mam partha daivam prakriti mashrita, has to take shelter of the internal potency of the Lord. So according to Krishna, Mahatma Gandhi was not Mahatma. So, of course, you don't want to tell that to too many Indian people because they get very angry. Because he was simply interested in he was a Deshbhakta. You ever heard of a Deshbhakta? Desh means a country or where you live, a place. So that means he was a Bhakta of his country. So we're not meant to be Deshbhaktas or Bhaktas of our village. We're meant to be Krishna bhaktas. Anyway, but still he was pacified by that knowledge. It's very interesting. But a real knower of the Bhagavad Gita knows more than he's not the body. And I'll tell you an interesting story that I heard Prabhupada tell yesterday about someone who's a real knower of the Bhagavad Gita. That means he's a devotee of Krishna. Once upon a time, there was this Brahmin in South India, and the Brahmana was illiterate. The Brahmana could not read or write. And this Brahmana had gotten an instruction from his guru to read the Bhagavad Gita. So many times we think, you know, the guru gives some instruction. He doesn't know. He doesn't know me. But the guru did know that this person could not read or write. He was illiterate. Still, he gave his disciple that instruction. So his disciple, instead of being able to read, at least he just like went through the pages like this, you know, just to sort of carry out the order of his guru. He would just turn the pages like that in the Bhagavad Gita. And as he was turning the pages, he'd be crying. Of course, some of the other brahmanas were making fun of him because he was illiterate and just turning the pages. So he wasn't crying because they were making fun of him. You know, sometimes we cry if someone makes fun of us. But he was crying for a different reason that was brought out when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to see him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this brahman just turning the pages and crying. And he said, he knew the Brahmin was illiterate, and he said to the Brahmin, "My dear Brahmana, what are you doing?" And the Brahmana said, "My guru has given me the instruction to read the Bhagavad Gita." And so Lord Chaitanya said, "But you're illiterate, and you're just turning the pages. I can't see how you're reading. You're not a speed reader." Sometimes you have these speed readers who can just turn the pages. You go bloop, 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 bloop. Actually, I was trained up like that. You can just turn the pages and scan a whole page at a time. And you can read a whole book, like Bhagavad Gita, in less than an hour. Pretty good. There's a course you can take in speed reading so you can do that when you're young. Anyone here taking that course?
No.
Yeah. And it's actually very useful. But this Brahmana was not a speed reader. He was a no reader. He couldn't read anything. And so Lord Chaitanya said, "You know, why are you crying? Are you just like depressed because you can't read Bhagavad Gita?" And the Brahmana said, "No. My guru told me to read the Bhagavad Gita. And I'm doing this. And I'm crying because I'm thinking of how amazing it is that God has become the driver, the chariot driver of who?" And the children, I'm asking the children, not the adults. Yeah, obviously, you've been members of the Hare Krishna movement for 10,000 years of Puruji. So, because God has become the chariot driver of his devotee. Now, that's interesting because God doesn't have to do anything. I mean, God's not looking for a job. He doesn't have to listen to anybody. Wouldn't that be nice not to have to listen to anybody, kids? It'd be really great. Not to have to listen to your parents, not to have to listen to the... To be able to speed in a car, you know, for those of you who have a driving license, not to have to obey the speed limits. That would be wonderful. Because you go to Germany, there's no speed limit on the Autobahn. You can actually go like... We had one devotee who was taking me to 200 kilometers an hour. That's approximately 150 miles an hour on the Autobahn. That would be fun. It was scary. But God doesn't have to do anything. He is completely swarat, independent. And so here he is taking a job as the chariot driver of Arjuna. And Arjuna is just saying, "Go here, go there." Because in the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was just ordering Krishna. He said, "Turn this way, turn that way." It's like in the material world, that's called a chauffeur. A chauffeur? You know, someone who drives a car. And they're paid money to do that. When I was young, my grandparents had a chauffeur. They had a Cadillac and a chauffeur who drove them around. So that's simply amazing that God, who can do anything, he doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to do, and whatever he does for his enjoyment, he's taking orders from his devotee. And not only did this Brahmin realize this, but he saw it. He had this vision, a spiritual vision. Like Prabhupada said, a devotee, a pure devotee, has spiritual television. He doesn't need the internet. That's pretty good, isn't it? He doesn't need television. He doesn't need satellites. Just like I was watching the news yesterday, and they said, there's a big problem with some of the satellites get knocked out for some reason or other. You know, they go bad, and the Army's trying to figure a way to send new satellites up with an airplane rather than a rocket so the satellites could be replaced, because if a satellite goes out, we're finished. We can't communicate with each other. We're just like, all we can do is sit and talk with each other, which we don't know how to do anymore. In New York, one time the electricity went out, and nobody knew what to do with each other, because there's no television. People would just sit on the couch and look at the blank screen. Can you imagine, you know? And they're sitting next to their husband or the wife or the children, and they say, they finally have to turn around, "What's your name?" "Oh, I'm your son." So, it wasn't that bad, but it was almost that bad. So, you can imagine if one of the
satellites goes out, and our the mobile phone, you know, I, of course, I always carry one in my pocket, and I'm addicted to it, goes out, we can't communicate. Oh, my God, what's going to happen with life? So Krishna, his Krishna's devotees don't need it. They have a spiritual television. They can see any of Krishna's pastimes. They can tune in like billions of channels. Not only a few hundred like the satellites have. They can tune into billions of channels and they can see any pastime they want. So this brahmana, he was seeing Krishna's pastimes as Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, you are the real knower of Bhagavad Gita. So what does that mean? That means because he had faith in the instructions of his spiritual master. And even though, for all intents and purposes, it was impossible to carry out the order of the spiritual master properly, right? But still he tried. And that's why Prabhupada said that success potency is contained within the order of the spiritual master. So he was following the order of his spiritual... Of course, there's this verse... Yasha devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru tashayate katita yarta prakashante mahatmana. One who has faith in the spiritual master, faith in the Vedic literatures, things get revealed to him. So everything is based on faith. So if one doesn't have faith, Krishna also says, Shraddhana purusha dharma shasha parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Then he simply has to take birth again. And he never is able to realize Krishna. So it's all a question of faith. Hiranyakashipu here, who's giving this nice instruction, has no faith because he's a demon. That's the difference. A demon has no faith in Krishna, but he'll use Krishna's philosophy for his own purposes. Like people use the Bhagavad Gita, like there was another person who published the Bhagavad Gita called Dr. Radhakrishna. And Prabhupada would often read before he published his own Bhagavad Gita from Radhakrishna's Gita because the verses were relatively accurate. But in this one verse where Krishna says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad yajimam namaskuru, always think of me, become my devotee, offer your obeisances to me. Dr. Radhakrishna said, it's not to Krishna you have to do that, it's the unborn beginningless within Krishna. So he had no faith. And so, you know what Prabhupada said about his next birth? Does anyone remember what Prabhupada said? Where Radhakrishna took birth? Dr. Radhakrishna, who published the Bhagavad Gita, he took birth as a dog in Sweden. At least a dog in Sweden is a nice birth. Because if you took birth as a dog in India, you know, it's pretty bad. You just get to live on the street. But a dog in Sweden means you probably get to sit at home and watch TV all day long. Isn't it? It's a better birth than a dog, a street dog. So he took birth. So even though he published the Bhagavad Gita, isn't that amazing? He still had to take birth as a dog. Whereas this Brahmin who couldn't even read the Bhagavad Gita obviously went back to home, back to Godhead. So everything is based on this faith. So anyway, so the question is, how do you get faith? Faith means, let's talk about what faith means, to trust someone so much that whatever they say, you'll do. I mean, that's amazing. In other words, you don't argue with them. You can ask why, but you actually do. Like it says sometimes, if the spiritual master says jump, instead of saying why, you say how high. So how does one get that faith in Krishna? One gets that faith. I'll tell you how I got that faith in Krishna, whatever faith I have, by seeing Srila Prabhupada. Because by seeing an example of someone who is Krishna conscious, that actually proves, like Prabhupada said, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. So by seeing a Krishna conscious person, or by practicing ourselves as Krishna says in the 9th chapter of the Gita, prachacha, by having direct experience of how one gets realization and sees Krishna by practicing bhakti yoga, then faith comes. But it takes some time to build up faith. We were talking about this on Sunday, where it's stated that the beginning of devotional service is faith. But that faith is not complete faith at that point. It's like preliminary faith, beginning faith. That one is just interested or curious or thinking maybe it's true. And that faith builds up by the performance of sadhana bhakti. Because by chanting, by following the principles, by serving the devotees, especially Srila Prabhupada, then one gets the realization. I mean, in one day, like this Brahman, you will see Krishna face to face. You will have a spiritual television. Wouldn't that be nice? And once you have that spiritual television, there's no more doubts. Yeah. And you're not crazy just having some, you know, psychotic visions. There's no more doubts that Krishna is real. That Krishna consciousness is real. Srila Prabhupada is speaking the absolute truth. And but it takes time to build up that faith. So that's the real point. And then we can appreciate the spiritual knowledge, become detached from the material world and attached to Krishna, not just temporarily, as we talked about, smarshana vairagya, at the crematorium. Not only at the crematorium. I mean, sometimes we have such miserable experiences in the material world. We find people say, oh, I should just give up my wife. I should just give up this life. I'm so miserable because this person yelled at me. That's temporary. But permanent renunciation occurs only from Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagya Jnana Chayad Ahoitakam. Only by performing Bhakti Yoga and getting realization. Okay, so we'll leave some time open for questions. Questions, comments? Any of the children have questions, comments, arguments? No? Problems? Any of the older people? Only any of the centenarians? Purvaji?
You really? I found that you made that point about the Dr. Radha Krishna. I think it was Nehru.
Oh, it was Nehru. So, yeah, you're right. Yes, Nehru, you're right. But I'm sure Dr. Radhakrishna didn't achieve a better birth in his next life either. Yes, you're right. It was Nehru, who also was a Hindu.
Yeah, he was a president of India.
Yeah, he was a president of India. That was Nehru. Yeah, you're right. So thank you for that correction. So any other questions?
Questions? Yes, I'm here.
But I'm also curious about one of the things that was mentioned in the beginning, maybe even in the translation itself, about the misuse of slight independence.
Misuse of slight independence, yeah.
And how that...
Well, first of all, slight means we only have the ability to choose between Krishna and Maya. Because once we choose Maya, Krishna says in the Gita, Krishna Priya says in the Gita. Krishna says in the Gita, Nahi kaschit chanamapi jatatishkati akarma krit karyate yavasa karma sarva prakriti jargana. Then you're forced to act. That's a slight independence. Slight independence means you either choose Krishna or Maya, and once you choose Maya, you're forced to act according to the impulses born in the three modes of material nature. You're like a puppet, like a marionette. Anyone seen a marionette? Marionette is a type of puppet that is controlled by strings. There's two types of puppets. One is controlled by the hand. There's hand puppet. And that's easy. But a marionette has like all these different strings. And some strings control the hand, some strings control the mouth. I remember going to one TV show when I was young. It was called the Howdy Doody TV show. And he was a marionette. When I saw him on TV, I thought he was real. But when I actually went to the show,
I saw that it was just controlled by strings, and my illusion was dispelled. My illusion was dispelled. He's actually just a puppet. So we're like that when we're not Krishna conscious. We're just controlled by these modes of nature. The modes say, open your mouth. Ah, ah. And the modes of nature are like a ventriloquist. You all know what a ventriloquist is? Ventriloquist means you can make a puppet speak just by keeping your mouth closed. And you can have a little puppet or marionette speak. So the modes of nature are actually doing that to us if we're not Krishna conscious. We're being controlled at every moment. Nobody likes to be controlled. Okay. On that happy note...